at him, and I suspect Morris too, for the fact that you're not hurting the cause, because sometimes the conversation turns to, well, what, this is more in the county than Nevada.
Well,
if you get DO there, that's just gravy, because that's a state. So you have that ability, because you have, you know.
All right, let's go.
We'll see what happens.
You ready? All right, good morning, everybody. I'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. We've got a really fun agenda today, just some of my favorite things that we ever get to do. But we'll start, as always, if everybody joins us, we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you all so much. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. So this is an opportunity for members of the public to come up to the microphone and comment on anything they'd like to comment on. If there's anybody wishing to do so today, please come right on up. You sure none of the students have anything? No words of wisdom for us? All right. Our first item is proclamation of naming April 14th as Wayne and Edna Clinton Making Democracy Work Day. So for those of you that don't know, Wayne served for 16 years up here at this table, is actually absolutely a mentor of mine, but more importantly, a great friend. He and Edna, for the last 50 years here, 50 plus years probably here in Ames, in Story County, have worked to make the community a better place every single day. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you love this community like a lot of us do, the impact that Wayne and Edna have had on making this the place it is can't be overstated. And so I am so proud to read this proclamation. Wayne and Edna Clinton Making Democracy Work Day. Whereas the Story County Board of Supervisors are dedicated to safeguarding democracy and creating positive growth and good public policy. And whereas local county government needs everyone to participate in order for Story County to be a strong, safe, diverse, and democratic place to live. And whereas the League of Women Voters has created an award to recognize community leaders who are safeguarding democracy and social justice in our community. And whereas the Making Democracy Work Award is a chance to honor and celebrate members of our community who expresses a passion for democracy. And whereas the League of Women Voters has selected Wayne and Edna Clinton for the 2018 Making Democracy Work Award. And whereas Wayne and Edna Clinton's lifetime of accomplishments through civic involvement, public service and advocacy for equity, fairness, and diversity is evident and well documented. And whereas they have fought for the worth and dignity of the disenfranchised and minority youth to become more involved in democracy and have inspired all those who have worked alongside them. Therefore, we, the Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim Saturday, April 14th, as Wayne and Edna Clinton Making Democracy Work Day, and encourage all our citizens to do their part to safeguard democracy and to participate in making democracy work today and every day. So I'm going to ask if Wayne and Edna want to come say something, but first, join me in recognizing Wayne and Edna.
My shortest speech ever.
You always start that way, and you very rarely mean it.
First of all, both my wife and I want to thank the League of Women Voters, the community of Ames, and the entire Story County community for this great honor. And to the Board of Supervisors for having this proclamation in our honor and designating April 14th, Wayne and Clinton Day for Making Democracy Work. Just speaks volumes. But the primary factor I shared with Dan Colhane just briefly What is more significant to me is this is right on the eve of the 50th anniversary of one of my heroes, the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Many of you are not aware that I was a teacher in the Ames School District, and in 1968, when he was assassinated, I went to my principal, Don Carlson, and asked if I could infuse the civil rights movement and the life story of Dr. King into my curriculum so that my students would grow up knowing the impact that he was trying to have on making America a great and an open society for all, where everybody, regardless to their stature in life, would have equal opportunity for the greatness of this country bestowed. And to this day, when I think back about this award and looking at his impact on my life, I try to live a life of service, embodying the principles that he led, so that others that looked at me would recognize that I was trying to not only uphold the Clinton name, but also be an example for my culture, my heritage, and my people. And I'm just so thankful to all of you for honoring me in this regard. And we are very lucky to live in the community that we are today. So I urge everyone to please, if you haven't spent time reflecting on Dr. King and what he stood for, to go back and listen tomorrow, read some of his works, because we're living at a time where it's even more important today that we try to all come together as a nation to recognize that we're in it all together, and we need to not be a divisive country, but one of love, of respect, and humility for all.
Outstanding. Wayne Edmonds.
Well, I don't know much more to say except that I am extremely honored and humble that the people of Ames think so highly of us. I have never gone into anything with the idea that I was going to make front page news. I have gone in it with the idea that when we think with our heart and when we look at each other, that person is a reflection of us, regardless of what color hair they have, eyes, skin color, religion, or any of those other characteristics that we have preconceived ideas about. There are some in this audience that have been introduced to me more personally in the last year and a half, and so they know that I'm a very truthful person with gentleness. And I believe that Ames, Story County, can be the leader in all areas. Mm-hmm. That is economic growth, that is housing, that is education, that is civic and social justice, that is health care, you name it. I believe, truly, with the resources that we have, and particularly the young people, your brain power, your ability to step out and say, enough is enough, will force adults to follow you. So I congratulate all young people who are actively involved in making Ames and Story County the place to be truly. And I am extremely grateful beyond words to be recognized with this award.
Well, so well earned, Edna. So we'll close this portion with this, and then we're going to do a quick photo op with Wayne and Edna. So Dr. King, for all of you, if you haven't had a chance to study his life and his impact, it's worth your time. But have one message that he came back to again and again and again that is so true, and Wayne and Edna have epitomized this, and it is, we are all in this together. And none of us can ever be the most we're supposed to be unless all of us are the most we're supposed to be, and we all have that responsibility. And Wayne and Edna have spent their lifetime making sure that Story County pushes toward that worthy goal. So with that, we're going to do
I'd just like to say thank you to the league too for creating this new award. The Carrie Chapman Cat Award has been many years in the league to recognize leadership related to the league and involvement, but this is a great award. And it never occurred to me when they did the inception of it last year that we could do something like this, you know, name a day for somebody from an award that wasn't art that we didn't initiate. So I just want to recognize that the initial recipient was Judy Hoffman, who Wayne and Edna knew, and I know that Judy would be so pleased to see that you guys are following with the second year of the award.
Mm-hmm. So. Andy, Marty, anything before we do the...
Come on, Wayne, and then let's get up here. Come on, this is your day. Let's make it official.
Sure.
Absolutely. Okay, everyone. One, two, three.
One more.
All set.
All right. Okay. All right. Got one in here.
Outstanding opportunity to recognize a citizen who's making a difference comes today through our award, and that is 2018 Story County Citizens of the Year. Leanne, you want to start us off just talking process and how long we've been doing this? We've got a previous award winner sitting right in the front row.
Yes, we do.
So just talk us through.
Good morning. This is our third year, I believe, doing this. It was an idea brought to the board to recognize those citizens of Story County that just not in their day-to-day work, just go above what's normal for giving back to your community. George Belitzos was one of our original, Dr. Belitzos, one of our original recipients. The caliber of recipients is amazing, and you look at the history and the dedication they provided back to make Story County a better place. And I'm going to pass it back to you to get on with the ceremony.
Absolutely. So, this year, Citizens of the Year, has touched the lives of so many throughout his career. He leads by example in every manner. Hard work ethic and dedication are character traits that others around him try to emulate. With over 30 years of teaching, he started working for the Nevada School District in 1988, serving as the joint FFA advisor for not only the Nevada FFA, but also serving the Colonesco School District. As Nevada's agricultural education instructor, among many of the recognitions given him includes Iowa's Outstanding Agricultural Education Teacher in 2017 and the 2016 Excellence in Education Award given out by the Iowa State Education Association. His impact goes beyond the school district. He started the Iowa High School Renewable Energy Conference, oversaw the creation of the Ag Mechanics Lab, and fostered a partnership among local farmers and the K-12 lunch programs within the school districts. He personally practices no-till on 120-plus acres and is starting to implement cover crops, creating living laboratories from which his students can learn. So please help us welcome and congratulate the 2018 Story County Citizen of the Year, Mr. Kevin Cooper from the Nevada School District, nominated by the congratulations. Thank you so much. I know Marty has a few words he wanted to say on this one.
you come over on this side of the county, and if you have any touch on agriculture or education, you basically have Matt Kevin Cooper. And we have, in our society, we have personalities and people narrowed down to their names or last names. Hillary, Kobe, Shaq, take your pick of whoever you sit there and say, you know who you're talking about, you know the story. Over here, it's Coop. And he gets it done. He has been an educator's educator. He's been both awarded just recently and I believe previously. You are a shining light that has attributed by the fact you see as many people here attending. They just didn't get out of school, just skip a class. They want to come here and celebrate this moment with you. And I congratulate you. You spent 10 years on the Nevada School Board. It was always a pleasure to have you speak to us. You brought kids into the fore and gave us their insights and their shared their stories and their successes. I think that some academic success was had because that you offered opportunity and a welcoming environment to bring kids that might be otherwise a little bit detached from the educational process and gave them hope and a purpose. And they found success in what they did with it from there. It was of your doing, and I thank you for them and all the kids that you will touch in the years going forward. Coop, you're a resource, and you've been a pleasure to know.
Thanks, Marty. Well, I think what's neat about what I get to do is education. It's so gratifying to work with the students that I get to work with in an environment of support. Marty, you were on the school board, our superintendent, Dr. Gray's here. The support that, you know, when you empower educators, you can do great things. And when you come to work every day and you know that you can embark on adventure and try things and build things and go to that level where you hope to take students where they haven't been before, you know, that's what it takes. It's a team effort. So I'm just representative of a great community with a great staff, administration, school board support. You know, you don't get to expand your facilities without people voting to earmark that financial monies and resources so you can do things. And we do a lot of things, and we can do that because we have the confidence from our administrators and feedback. Board salute last fall. You get feedback, that's the breakfast of champions. I mean, I like my Wheaties, but it's great to have feedback. So, and high-quality students, you see them in the back of the room. Yesterday, there was no school. At 8 o'clock, they were in practicing parliamentary procedure. At 10 o'clock, in came the Farm Business Management team. Last night, at 8:15, there stands Jay. Him and his classmates were working on their marketing pro forma for state contest. They built engine splitting stands. So the work ethic of the students, they've been taught from a young age that work is good, pay attention to details, you know, that's what it takes. So for me, it doesn't seem like work, you know. It's just a lot of fun. And I appreciate the recognition, but it really goes to my students and their families and their school district.
Outstanding. Thank you. Kevin, come up here. We've got to take a picture.
Congratulations. Yeah. I have read about you for years. You made a paper in the
newspaper. Yes.
That's okay. It's good.
It's so much easier. You don't have to fax things.
Oh, yeah.
You just did send.
People send fax. So,
yeah, not like an answer. You
good?
All the students, too.
Yeah, all the students out there. Yep.
Absolutely.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are
you doing?
Marty
and I can go to the
AGI. Yeah,
this is
here. Yeah, why don't you guys come in here, okay? I'm going
to move in. Everybody in, and let's have a brute meal.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Not sure the room is deep enough. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
So this is yours as well.
Think of the gift card.
I can't do enough of that.
I know. This is a fun
meeting. Let's carry the fun forward.
Fun's good.
I couldn't figure out what was going on.
Thanks, George.
All right, Erica, I don't want you to take it as a reflection of you that the room is completely cleared out. Erica Peterson giving her annual report to the Boys and Girls Club.
Morning, Erica.
Good morning. I tell you what, that's a hard act to follow between recognition of those three individuals. That's pretty amazing. I want to start just real quick by stating what our mission statement is with the Boys and Girls Club. It's to inspire and enable all young people, especially those who need us the most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, and responsible citizens. And the reason I wanted to start with that was because we've just gotten done honoring what citizenship looks like, especially at the local level. And that's why we're here. We want to make sure that our children, that every child in our community, has the opportunities to grow up to be outstanding citizens. We were very honored to have Wayne Clinton on our board of directors for 28 years. I don't think he did anything else longer than being on our board, and so we're really proud to claim him. But I just wanted to share that with you, that that's what drives us, that's what leads our actions every day, that's what helps our staffing decisions, our program decisions. We want to make sure that every child in Story County, every child in our communities has the resources that they need to be able to be successful. Before you, you all have our annual report. It's a lot of data. I'm not going to read it to you because I know you can all read. So we'll just allow you to take a look at that. What we're continuing to see is significant growth within the club, especially when it comes to attendance. At this point in the summers, we are at capacity and we have a waiting list. During the school year, there are days where we reach our capacity, and so it's a great problem to have, but it is indeed a concern. What we're seeing is there's greater demand for after-school services and for youth development programs within our community, and that demand is only going to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we want to be accessible to every child, we keep our fees extremely low. Our school year fee is $25. Our summer fee is $50. That's all they have to pay. It includes every meal, every field trip, every activity that is offered. Even with that, there are some families who have a hard time with that, so we make sure that scholarships are available. And then on our end, it costs nearly $1,000 per child to offer the services that we do. So there's a big reach. So we're very grateful for the county's support and significant increase in support over the years to help us reach more children. I do want to point out that this January, we decided to close our Nevada Middle School program. That was not a decision that was taken lightly, but one of the things that we found was that the attendance was not something that we could continue to justify. We were seeing an average of 3 children a day at that point, a couple days a week, and one of the children was moving away. And so we decided, you know, this was maybe the good time to reset, and I would like to make it very clear that it's a reset. It's not a we're leaving Nevada. In fact, tomorrow I have a meeting with some community members about starting an after-school program here in town in a different location this fall. And so so the opportunities are still there. The need is still there. We just need to kind of figure out a different way to do it. So financially, we're doing well. We continue to grow in revenue and maintain good fiscal management within our organization. We had some fantastic renovations this last year, which we were very proud of, ability to increase our security with a new secured entrance in the club so we can keep our children safer. And as a part of our Vision 2020 Great Futures strategic plan, we do intend to continue to grow and open satellite sites across Ames and across the county here within the next 2 to 3 years. So we are embarking on a campaign here in the next 6 to 12 months to raise the funds to be able to do that. And another great new thing that we're embarking on is a workforce development program for our teens. We know that there's a great demand for employees across all industries, especially in the trades. And we also know that there are a fair amount of students who, when they graduate, they choose not to go to college, but they need to be prepared for something else. And so we believe that we are in that place that we can fill that gap, serving teens who need that extra support, but then also giving them career exploration opportunities, job-based learning opportunities, and soft skill development to be able to be career-ready when they graduate from high school as well. So we've just received a grant from Department of Human Services for this fiscal year to begin a startup program with that, and we'll be partnering with YSS to be able to serve some of their youth as well to get them career-ready.
Okay.
Any questions?
Questions or comments for Eric?
I had the opportunity with Wayne's departure to be asked to serve on this board, and I can tell you that membership, as we all have commitments on boards and commissions, some are more robust than others. This is one where you better set up straight, learn what is being discussed in the meetings, because it is not an organization that's that still and wants to tell you all about its laurels. I have found that as I've come to know the organization better than I did initially, it's easy to be a contributor, but they clearly have success. You see it here just in the financials. They have got to the point they are space limiting. They need to step outside themselves. Eric makes a good case that the need existed. It does in other communities, but sometimes location is everything, as in real estate and in programming here. I think that Erica is one of the as good a program director as they could possibly hope to get. I would only ask at this point you explain Jody Stumbo's role as she's been brought on by the board and what she is doing on behalf of Ames Boys and Girls Club.
Absolutely. Thank you for that request. So in January, we had Jody Stumbo start as our new development director. And her role is to provide the strategy, leadership, and fundraising initiatives for our organization. The board was very quick to recognize the need to grow, but to be able to grow, we needed more resources. And I was grateful that they were able to see that I was stretched about as thin as I could be at that particular point. So it was unanimous. The board decided that they wanted to add this position to our roster. And Jody comes to us from the Iowa State University Foundation. She was with them for 16 years, and is now we are very proud to have her as a part of our team. In her first 90 days now, she has outlined an extremely robust resource development, communications, and marketing guide that are going to guide us through this strategic plan. We do have a development coordinator who essentially is our special events and marketing person, and so the two of them together are just a powerhouse. And so we're very, very excited for the future of the club with these two working to help make it happen. So.
Outstanding. Laura, anything?
I was excited when Erica came. I've watched over these years as membership has grown, as management has approached, taken a little different approach, and it's worked very well. And so thanks and continued good luck, good success. Thank you very much.
Final program. You're doing a great job, Erica.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Minutes from both March 20th and March 27th.
Go ahead.
Good to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consideration of personnel actions. We don't have any today. Claims.
As presented.
Second.
Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda board.
Move as presented.
Second.
Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. First additional item is discussion and direction on the draft request for proposal for consulting services to guide Story County strategic planning process. Leanne Harder.
Morning, Leanne.
Thanks for what you did on the offering. I mean, you spent a portion of your day yesterday, what you see in the hallway, that was by Leanne to get ready for what we did. So
I tried a little of all of it, and it's really good, too.
I'm
trying to tell
my family something's a little bit dry. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're done.
But thank you. Yeah. You're like saying frozen when I go. Good morning again. I know when I was before you early, like 3 or 4 weeks ago on this matter, I thought that we could just do this as a bid. And I think we still can, but I like the RFP, request for proposal process. I mean, it's defined. I think given the nature of the types of services that we're seeking, I'd like to go through the request for proposals. That's why it does look different. I know you were expecting it to be a bid. Standard, follow the standard formatting for an RFP, follow the process that's within the RFP manual that was adopted by the Board of Supervisors. This is to go out and seek a consultant or a team of consultants to guide Surrey County through developing and establishing our next strategic plan. The proposals, if approved, would be released today. The turnaround time is kind of robust, but I'd like to get this done by the end of the fiscal year. Once the fiscal year off with a new plan. So the RFP or proposals will be due back by April 25th. The whole scope of services on page 2, I'm sure you've had an opportunity to review, so I'm not going to go into detail, but it does really just on page 3 of the deliverables. What we're looking for is a final strategic plan that will be developed through a stakeholder participation process with Board of Supervisors, elected officials, and other elected officials and department heads. Again, like we've done in the past, we're not going to meet one-on-one with potential vendors. We'll do a question and answer via the website. The time frame is established on page 3. I'll probably have Deb and maybe someone else help me review proposals when they come in to the review committee. And then bring it back to you for review and approval. It's May 8th would be your actual contract. So that really only gives like 2 months. But past strategic planning we've done, it's gone fast. It's gone well. Plus, if we go a little bit into July, that's okay. This was not budgeted. The maximum people could be anywhere from 10, 15, 20, 30,000. I mean, it depends on what the proposals say. But again, it's not budgeted. So that would be
keep in mind.
Any questions?
No. I have a question. Just as I hear the cost range from 10 to 30,000. Okay. Just wanting to make sure that the consultants who are bidding on this understand that we have support from the board and support from the rest of the county for the C2C plan already. That the strategic plan seems the base is solid, et cetera, so that someone knows they're not coming in and necessarily readmitting the entire will.
I think it's a great point, and dollars matter. I'd say underscore both of those, but I like the idea of starting with a clean slate and saying, okay, here's what we'd like to have you do generically. Now tell us how you do it and what that would cost us. And hopefully we get multiple proposals would be my hope, and then we can work through what would work best for us. Anything, Marty?
No, you've had success here with the HR, your pay scales, the 911 radio system as far as hiring consultants. You have the ability to, through the interview process, to find the best fit. And I think that we would be well served to go and move on this one. So.
Yep. Well, and it starts by approving getting this RFP out.
I would move that we approve this RFP and instruct the staff to issue it effective April 3rd.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes.
Thanks, Leanne.
Next item is discussion consideration of submitting applications for annual report recognition. So, Leanne and Christy put together a phenomenal annual report, one that anytime I don't know, Morris, if you and Marty have had the same reaction, but anytime I hand our annual report to anybody, including other supervisors, they are blown away, and they want to know more about
what led us to doing it, how it got done, and most importantly, who put this together for us. And I think it's appropriate that we submit it for recognition beyond just being informative to our citizens, which is the reason it exists. But this one goes beyond that, so I ask Leanne to put a consideration item on our agenda. There's a couple possibilities of submission for awards that might be appropriate, but the board needs to talk through. I know there's an application fee on both of those. So, Leanne, tell us what we're looking at.
I do want to thank Chrissy. She's the one that's been spending a lot of time doing the research and finding there's a multitude of programs and awards that we could qualify for. Unfortunately, one, the deadline window was closed before we knew it. And then there's others that the price tag to apply is almost is too steep. One is $350 or $355. It's called the Stevie Award. So we may look at that, and so you're probably familiar with it from being in the industry. Maybe as we build next year's and other documents, we can keep that in mind. But the two that we put together is the National Association of County Information Officers Awards of Excellence. This one does have an application fee, as I say in the memo. If we submit before April 6th with our claims process, I don't know that we can. But that would be $35. Otherwise, it goes up to $65. No, I'm sorry, $50, because we're not a member. Otherwise, it goes to $65. I listed the award categories. We obviously would go into annual reports there. And then the other one is ISAC's Excellence in Action Award, which Story County has historically had good results when applying for that, too. And that does not have an application fee. And that deadline is May 4th. The other one is April 20th. So, yeah, coming up here relatively quickly. I'm sorry, I cannot leave this April. So I'm
So I think it's a no-brainer that we should apply for these two awards. I'd like to know more about this. So $355 sounds like a big deal, but it's really not. If it's an award we need to be applying for, we find the $355. I don't know what the CD is and whether it is. I don't want to apply for an award that really is not made for something like this.
Well, so the Stevie within advertising promotional awards, I mean, is well known. My thought on this is you guys did such a great job this year. We know that maybe where we were a little looking at improvement for next year was in the photography end, the photos. So for me, be aware of the Stevie, and very prestigious, and I believe the layout, the content fits, because don't they kind of, they stack them according to the size of organizations, too, or whatever, you know, there's multiple awards. But I do think that we might have, because of our photos, of the lack of a real robust photo album, we might not have a good shot at an award this year. I certainly, when I look at these two awards, think that these are much more in our category right now. We can look at the Stevie next year. That's my own thought, and it's not so much the monetary cost itself as it is spending it, knowing where I think we've got a weakness against some of the competition that'll be there.
Well, we should put ourselves up for awards that we think it's reasonable for us to be considered for. And,
right.
And if we don't believe, and I'm not the guy who would know this, if we don't believe that Stevie is a realistic option for us this year, then absolutely we don't apply for that. These two look like they fit perfectly with this. Marty, any thoughts?
No, I must defer again to the journalists in our group as to what is and what isn't. But I think the great unsaid here is the fact that you're seeing the work product of an intern program that, as we bring Iowa State students over to us, that they have done such a stand-up job that their work product is award-worthy, and that's why we're bringing it here before us today in hopes of applying for something that we could win. To the use of this, the item that we're talking about here, I don't know how many times I had Rachel do me up another batch because we kept going through them.
I know the next question is, do we know how many? We don't know how many we printed.
Yeah, but it was...
Did you guys have snagged them before?
But it's...
Well, that 25 go. I mean,
It's got to be north of 500.
Oh,
sure.
I think
it might be closer to 1,000.
Yeah. I mean, you took them out. I took them out, Rick. I know you took them out. And the thing is, they're well received. And I bet it in the way that, you know, I can tell people that have looked at it will come back and ask questions, and I know where they got it from. And that tells me that the fact that the effort was worthy, the work product was great, and the fact that you had a foreign citizen knowing what happens in their behalf in the county only betters us all.
I agree with Marty and the comments I got, and I think one of the biggest compliments is a couple of people I was talking to, I handed it to, and they started looking and kept reading instead of listening to me anymore. And I said, okay, and, you know, but that's the ultimate compliment, right, for a print piece, is that it's drawn you in. Just a super, super tough. And I think these two awards are going to offer you competition, but you've got a product that's
going to
stand up to that competition.
Outstanding. Yeah, so I take a
motion. I was so moved that we direct staff to submit the annual report to the competition for the two listed here. Do you need them listed out?
Yep.
Okay.
Second. Motion to the second. Leanne, Chrissy, anything further? Great job by you guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
Really good. Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Please submit to those two awards. Next item, we get to deal with the ice storm of February 5th, and we had a sheriff's deputy's vehicle totaled on the interstate during all of that, so we actually need to go buy a new one. Leanna, tell us about it.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, we had one vehicle that was totaled, and I put bids out to multiple dealers for the replacement of the vehicle, utilizing specs that we did for this year's vehicle purchase. And I had three dealerships send back bids to the vehicles, lowest one being Charles Davis Ford at $33,992. And then I also have quotes as it pertains to the changeover equipment, reusing everything that we can reuse. This is just the bare minimum with the changeover cost. There was $1,001 to remove all the equipment, and then in order to place all the equipment back into the new vehicle, it's going to be $5,816.71. My understanding that as far as the, the insurance line item, what have you, that we would seek to have all of this come out of that line item. Of course, the insurance of the young lady that rear-ended our deputy, they had assessed the vehicle at, I believe, just over $13,000 or something. So there's going to be a gap that the county will need to cover as far as the difference in cost. And then, through the process of the changeover, I am asking that we also replace the siren control box. It isn't as the lifespan of this particular piece of equipment is not a result of the accident, but it's something that we're going to need to replace. It's well over 10 years old, and we're seeing those fail now in our patrol vehicles. Those items are somewhere between $900 and $1,000. And I guess I'm seeking direction from the board as far as what route to go with that, whether we take that out of the motor vehicle line item, countywide budget, or whether or not we incorporate that into the operations of the sheriff's office budget. I do not know what the turnaround time is going to be on the purchase of the vehicle. Once I get approval to move forward, I can inquire. We're recommending Charles Gavis Ford with the lowest bid. I can inquire as far as what that turnaround time is going to be. But it's very likely that it could actually end up being within the next fiscal year by the time we get the vehicle and are able to get the equipment changed over.
Yes, so we're self-insured. Clearly we're collecting some dollars from the individual's insurance company who actually struck our vehicle, but it's not going to cover the whole thing. So I think all of this, for me, we need to put a new vehicle for our deputy back on the road. That means having it fully equipped.
if it's time to buy, and it doesn't make any sense at all to me to put a piece of equipment in the vehicle that we think we're just going to trade out, because we're going on, what, a 4 or 5 year rotation on these vehicles anyway. So if we don't think it's going to last that long, then there's no reason to put a piece of equipment in there that's not going to last. I just soon see us get all this done in this fiscal year, but I know that could be tight depending on when this vehicle is ready to come to us. Morris Martin, thoughts?
Ms. Hannah Ellis asked a question. I would defer to you as to where, what pot do we pull from in regards to on the payment.
You say that eventually all of these devices will need to be replaced in all of the cars, correct?
Yes, and understanding when we went through the budget meetings that we had determined that in FY19, as far as equipping the vehicles, historically we've had it in our operations budget, but we've moved that over into the motor vehicle countywide budget.
Right.
And so that's where the question is on this one piece of equipment, as to if we're going to go ahead and...
Yeah, I'd like to see you find a way to buy that $1,000 piece of equipment out of your operations this year, knowing that we're making the change in 19. That, to me, is not part of the insurance. So in my mind, unless Loris and Marty disagree, our insurance line item should cover purchasing the vehicle and taking the equipment off the old vehicle and putting on the new one. But if we're inserting a new piece of equipment, that ought to come out of the line item that we have, it because it's not related to this wreck. Everything else is related to this wreck. And so I'd like to see you find the $1,000 somewhere in your operation line item for FY18. For that one piece of equipment.
I was asking a question to look for consistency. So fiscal year 18, consistency is coming out of the operational. It's the shift in 19 where it goes over to the motor vehicle fund, correct?
To the county one.
To the county one.
Right.
So, yeah, operational I was looking for.
Yeah. So if they can work, if that can't work, then we just need to have a conversation. I mean, so I don't know exactly. I think your budget is really, really solid right now. Just take a look and see if you can incorporate it in, and then it would be the sheriff and you and Lisa Markley that would start to figure that out. If the board needs to make an adjustment to that, we can make an adjustment.
No, I think that'll be fine. We can also order the equipment ahead of time before we get the vehicle in, so we can ensure that it comes out of the FY18.
Super.
You got 3 years out of four. You're going to rotate it out after one more year, and the fact is you've got a piece of equipment that's going to get changed out at a rotation time anyway. The fact that we can get it done in this fiscal will be wonderful. I believe we took in a check here on Friday from an insurance company, so we have dollars on hand to move forward. So I think this is worthy. Thank you for your time. Who would have thought this particular event would have turned into a new vehicle, but there you go.
Yeah, and we ended up, so the insurance payout was almost $20,000. It included the vehicle, and it included a lot of the changeover of equipment. Clearly, we're going to be putting some additional dollars with that in order to get a new vehicle. All those good to me if one of you guys would make a motion. Oh, and I got to add one thing before you make the motion. So occasionally we'll get the question. Traditionally, and I believe this is true for this board, Story County Board of Supervisors would always prefer to do business within Story County. But these are public dollars, and so bottom line is bottom line. And so occasionally I'll get the question of, well, you know, how much wiggle room do we have? And my answer is zero is zero, right? And so we put this out for bid, and we take the lowest bid we get. And if it's $1 or $200 or $10,000, we're going with the lowest bid to get the comparable piece of equipment, even if it means we're going across county lines to do it, because ultimately we're spending taxpayer money, and it's the right thing to do. Board of Supervisors can always change that if the Board of Supervisors wants to change it, but I think it's worth the explanation for why we got it. It's roughly $200 more to do something at Ames Ford, who's a great community member. I love them. I love to do business with them. In fact, I've got a vehicle from them. But when it comes to spending taxpayer dollars, we're going to go with a low bid, or at least that's been the philosophy up till now. So now you can make a motion or you can comment on that.
I'll just comment on it. It's an interesting topic in the future. Up in Wisconsin, a county that I covered exercised a 2% And clearly the difference between in-county and out-of-county here with only $200 on a $33,000 or $34,000 vehicle would have been well within that margin. But I guess it's something to study. I mean, if we wanted to put it on a future agenda to talk about what would that really mean, I think, an analysis, et cetera. I just have covered, not served, but covered in another state where they set that of a 2% for local vendors, and that was upheld by the Wisconsin courts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we absolutely have the authority to do it if we ever decide. Just to this point, zero has always meant zero for the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah,
and
that's
been the way that has been passed on.
So how many bids did you get?
Three. Two outside of county and one in county.
Pretty close?
Yes. And we have conducted business in the past. Actually, this year, we are purchasing our vehicles through Cyrus Ford. We've also conducted business with Ames Ford. And at least in my history, Charles Gavis is new. I appreciate that we'll, the more we have involved, the more competition and competitiveness there is on the bids. And I think you can only...
It's hers. I'm glad to hear that you said three, because the thing is, you get to the point, if you get it down to one, you get that price. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily make it a good price. But I like the fact that we have the ability to visit in the unnamed future to bring this as far as consideration to say, yes, we'd like to keep Story County tax dollars in Story County, but we don't have that mechanism today. So I would move.
We have that mechanism. We just need Story County dealer to be the low bidder. That's the mechanism to get that done.
I just like the fact that he has some wiggle room to make it happen. But the thing is, you have the obligation to spend your dollars wisely here. And I think everybody is probably in agreement in that sense. So I would move consideration to purchase one new vehicle for Story County Sheriff's Office from Charles Gaines Ford for $33,992 of unbudgeted monies.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion?
Yeah.
Chief?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye.
Thanks. Thank you.
Next, the departmental report. We get to hear from, we never get to see Jerry Moore, so it's great. We get to hear from him.
Jerry Moore, come on down.
Well, you didn't have anything for us to consider, so you had to do your annual report today.
All right. It's good to see everyone, too.
Nice to be loved, isn't it, Jerry?
Hey. All right, we always start with zoning permits. Unfortunately, we're down a little bit from the previous year's first quarter, but I'm an Iowan, we're Iowans, right? Either we're talking about weather or complaining about weather. We think it's partly due to the cold weather. So we're hoping the numbers pick up. Our staff pays attention to the numbers. If you look at the written information, we were actually working on two additional zoning permits that weren't ready yet, so that would have helped a little bit to get us close to the 2016 first quarter. Development cases, we looked at conditional use permits, subdivision plats, and rezonings were up there, both of the previous two quarters. Conditional use permits were the largest category. We looked at farm camp requests at the Center Grove Orchard that had a farm camp for preschoolers through eighth grade. Country Living Mobile Home Park, they're swapping out where they had existing mobile homes, they're allowing RVs. The property owned by Mr. McKay south of Highway 30, Brad Perkins obtained a conditional use permit for a bed and breakfast events venue, and also obtained approval for a commercial campground RV park. We did, however, receive service of a lawsuit from an adjacent property owner with regards to the bed and breakfast. It's likely possible that we're going to see another one for the commercial campground. Looked at modifications to existing towers. We get quite a few of those. Those are reviewed administratively. Then we list all the other activities, vacations, amendments, site development plans, down this quarter from previous 2 years, first quarter. But again, up on the areas of property research, since we've changed the format, we used to allow that only once a month. Now we allow that every week. If we get an application in prior to noon on Tuesday, we'll hear it that following Thursday. So we think that's kind of helped open the doors up. proposed projects that are coming through. And then conceptual review, any requests that we get to from property owners on request use of property divisions for different purposes, we do a report using our GIS system, and the numbers are up there too. We're listing just a few of the complaints. One was Rasmussen on 180th Street by the township, what was the school, converted to a single-family dwelling. Got to a point where he was making progress, and then the progress stopped, and so we sent out another notice of violation to get compliance on the cleanup on the northeast portion of this property. The Carpenter one on 650th, it's north of Maxwell Mobile Home. This was a site that was an issue previous staffs. There's been a lot of cleanup here. And we couldn't tell. We did send a notice out. Couldn't tell if the wind blew the mobile home over, if we actually were having some disassembly going on. And it turns out that Mr. Carpenter did come in yesterday and said that he's working on it. So he's either going to come in with a schedule or come in with a challenge, which is he's got that prerogative to take that option if he chooses to do that. And then Finco Tree Wood Service, east of Kelly on 280th. That is actually a home business permit that I think is probably expanded beyond what's permitted under our home business regulations. We have a situation here where there's many more employees reporting than what's permitted, and then there's a lot of outside storage occurring. And we sent what we refer to as a friendly letter, giving him options to consider. And so I think he's got another week to get back to us on that.
And he could always request conditional use permit too, right?
Well, he's in an A1 district, so rezoning could be an option. But with that, we always have to look at our comprehensive plan. Relocating to a district maybe where it's more fitting for this type of use.
Yeah, so I understand he's in an A1. I drove by there the other day, and so it appears to me that it's not an outlandish use for the property that he has. And so I'd like us to consider what the options are for assisting compliance if, in fact, it's the right
Yeah. Yeah, usually that type of use, again, with the tree service, he's bringing back a lot of
right.
material and processing it there. Usually you'll find that in more of a heavy industrial type zoning category because of the, you need a lot of equipment to do that, and then it can be messy.
Right.
And then you look at it, right, and you have to see it. So part of his concern is he's got contracts in Ames and Des Moines to provide firewood for different restaurants and different uses for campgrounds, and he needs to have a situation where it's open to the elements. So he might be able to maybe add on like a roof portion to the existing accessory structure. I'm not an expert in his industry,
sure.
But if that helps, because he has to provide for the curing of this wood.
Right.
To reach a certain moisture content.
But he could also, and not suggesting where it would end up, but he could also apply to have the property rezoned, and we would go through our process.
Right.
And wherever that process
is. And I think we gave him like four things to think about.
Okay.
These are things that are going to be addressed, will be addressed at the Planning and Zoning Commission tomorrow. Borrow pit, with I-35 construction, road construction project, we've had a lot of requests to use the South Dayton and 30 property for different things, as well as the Manass borrow pit area. So that's the borrow pit. We've got two batch plant requests, temporary uses, one heart equestrian therapy use, North Ames. It was an existing horse stable, and they're proposing to acquire it and provide therapy for persons with physical and mental disabilities. B-17 Memorial, 295th Street, back in 1944,
right.
B-17 crashed on a property very near this location, so they'd like to do a memorial to that. There were five service members that perished in that accident. Pleasant Grove Church, they were proposing to expand, or actually create an off-street parking lot, as well as an accessory building.
got some issues that we're dealing with. We're working with engineering, secondary roads on part of it. And so that'll probably be the next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. And then story wind training, the existing electrical substation on 720th south of Zeering. They're proposing to do like a training session that's not connected live wire, but to help their employees learn about how to connect and maintain the system. So we're going to be looking at that. A site plan, technical services incorporated on 241st. That's just southeast corner of the interchange of I-35 and Highway 30. They're proposing a new paved parking area on the north side of the building, as well as a new accessory building for storage. Also looking at a rezoning request when Alluvial Brewing Company on 190th obtained an expansion for their operation. They also told us about distribution, which is really not fitting for the agritourism regulations. So they're asking for a rezoning to A2, which would be more fitting for that. It would be a restricted use to keep out certain uses that would be appropriate for that area. And then, of course, work program. There's 13 things there. The green arrow represents things that we're working on. The other is the check mark. These are things that are done. We did put together a review in-house. Did spend some time talking with Ames planning staff, the city of Gilbert staff, and just kind of gave the Planning and Zoning Commission a cursory view of some opportunities. And we're very excited to bring that forward. We're going to go through the details tomorrow. We've got a lease that the engineering the attorney's office helped us with. We've got two potential landowners to help us with site issues, and we'll wait for them to sign off. And then we're going to be bringing some information to the board with regard to that. We're working on the amendment to the stormwater ordinance, erosion control. We've sent out copies of the amendment to developers, builders that we work with, environmental groups. It's also posted on the county's website. We received quite a few comments and just kind of went through some of the major details at the last Planning and Zoning Commission. That won't be addressed again, though, until probably the May meeting. We've got go through all of the comments. We're trying to find that happy medium middle of the road that takes into consideration all sides and all viewpoints. Emily's been working pretty hard on this transportation impact analysis. We're trying to figure out, you know, when we bring in approved rural residential subdivisions, what's the impact on county roads, what's the impact on other adjacent roads. And so we're making some headway on that. U.S. Census, we've reviewed the boundaries. All that information has been packaged and sent off to the Census Bureau, and we're now working on the second phase, which is the real, it's both of those are important, but the addressing, and we've got like 90 days to complete that, so you know, we're working on that. Last thing that you see there is floodplain administrator certification. I'm happy to tell you that I did pass that test. And in the room. So, and each time I took that test, I heard Rick telling me, get her done, Jerry, get her done.
That's so. Exactly right. And you did. That's
I'd like to go back to 7-8, sure. The stormwater ordinance, yep. And the groundwater impact analysis. So you said you were getting a variety of views. How many developers are at the table on this, or are we only getting from a couple?
We probably send it out specifically to like three that we deal with, but again, it's on the county's website. If there's others that you're aware of,
well, there are many developers. The website is certainly a good place to start. But I think if we're going to send special invitations, we need to really find out all of the people who are developing, and I'm sure that Ames can help you with a list of people who have been contacted, and also there's the the Builders Association or whatever. I just feel uncomfortable if only three people getting personal invitations come to the table and everybody else is left with a draw to go to the website.
It's primarily been the ones that we've worked with, the majors, Hunziker, you know, the engineering firms that we've worked with, builders, but it's not our intent to close anybody out. We're welcoming comments from everybody.
And how about for other groups? Have other groups been brought to the table as far as, you know, Prairie Rivers? All right. But what about other groups that might be interested in this? Or anybody from out of state brought to the table?
We can provide like a list of who we actually...
I think you did.
Okay.
Before, and I noticed it was kind of short.
Oh.
Okay. And I haven't said, this is the first time I said anything, so, you know, this is, okay. But I just, yeah, the reach out to make sure that we really got every, a wider reach at the table.
And that's important to us. I don't want to get toward the end and have somebody say, you know what, I didn't know about it, or
yeah.
You didn't take into consideration our viewpoints, and so it is important to us that everybody be contacted and be involved in this process.
I'm wondering if communications outreach could help with maybe a press release or something, you know, saying this is what's going on right now,
sure.
And sending out to the local media scene if they would pick it up.
Yeah, and I would also agree with reaching out to the different organizations, that home builders organization, mm-hmm. Reach out to a few of those and say, hey, just make sure your members are aware of this. Makes some sense. It logistically, you're always going to leave somebody out.
Right.
So you start going down the list. But making a great effort to make sure that everybody at least has a chance is the goal that all of us have.
Right.
So.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
No problem. And lastly, we are trying to prove our communications, customer service, information. We're doing these sheets for all of the development applications that we have, and it talks about the process, and it starts from the left and goes to the right, and as you move to the right, you pick up more details about who's involved, what's involved, and then, you know, what the applicant's role is as far as the major things. So we think this is a positive step in the right direction, and we're going to have this, you know, at our counter, but we can certainly put it on our website. And
I mean, it's worth people seeing what it takes to get through one of these.
Yeah.
Questions or comments? So the big takeaway here is you're a certified floodplain administrator. That's big time. You're doing a great job, Gary. Thank you.
I would say it was a piece of cake, but it wasn't.
I heard it was hard. Absolutely. All right, no other reports. Public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on anything you'd like to comment on. Come right on up if you'd like to.
Got anything, Paul?
Seeing no one moving the microphone, Paul, we're going to get you out of here quick today. How about that? Liaison assignments, Laura's your first this week.
Oh, okay. Well, the Ames Area Metropolitan Planning Organization met last week, and actually the official thing we did was to set the hearing for May 22nd on an amendment. And it's a kind of interesting and exciting amendment for the plans for the MPO. We are going to add enunciators, or Skyride, I should say, is going to add enunciators to all the buses. And an enunciator says what stop you're at. It speaks out. And what they're doing on their stops right now is the bus drivers are only announcing the major ones, or if they know that a particular rider has a need to be told where they are. These enunciators will be installed over multiple years. It's going to cost $1 million, but 80% of it Fed money. And 200,000 will be local match out of the Skyride budget. So the first one is 423,000 worth of them, so almost half, and 108,000 is coming out locally. But it was requested by the Disability Council. It was requested approved by the Story County Human Services Council. So this is a big step for Skyride. I attended the poverty simulation last, I believe it was Thursday, and discovered that I would not do well if I had limited resources. I've had limited resources before, but I've always known there were resources available, and it was quite a humbling experience. There was a very diverse group of people there, and many of us thought we would not make it through that first, you know, month on decisions. I was at the McCallsburg City Council last night. They still are trying to figure out what they're going to do about their water bills and what to do with water meters. We did have a discussion on TIF, just what was going on down at the State House. You know, I kind of told them what I knew, such that it was, and hopefully it wouldn't go through. And of course, the main thing is that the school districts were allowed to opt out and counties from a municipal TIF. And that came into a discussion where one council member made the comment, and I know it was exaggerated a little bit, but geez, you know, if it weren't for TIF after we paid what we paid for the sheriff, you know, the his fee, we wouldn't have much left at all. So they are probably the entity that's going to be most impacted if there are changes as far as our immediate impact for the local municipalities is that their TIF is running out in 2020. So we just had a conversation there, but they appreciated we checked in with them. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Coming up this week, I'm planning on going to Collins on Thursday night for the city council meeting. I think we're all going to fish fry, right, on Friday maybe, the Cambridge fish fry. Monday there's the opioid task force and the juvenile justice meetings. And also, I'd like to try and drop in on the Slater City Council that night at 7:30. And I'm just kind of sitting here like we all are and watching what the legislature is going to do in the next week or so. I'll end it on that.
It's always a party when the legislature finishes their work and you know what they stand at. It's Marty.
I'd like to say thank you to Austin and Tribune for what you did on explaining the story of what the 911 build-out could be and the story of what got us to there. It was nice to see both sides that you went to the trouble to talk to Electronic Engineering to hear theirs, and kudos.
It's a shame they don't have an opinion, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was sarcasm.
I told a number of people that it would be a good paper to buy and read for that, those two dueling articles. Good on you, Austin. Got a board of health meeting this afternoon. I was in the city of Colo last night at their city council meeting and tried to impress upon them the fact that haste is where we need to be as far as a decision on their septic system or their lagoon system, and what they're doing is they've already been in contact with the city of Nevada as far as Nevada's stormwater handling in regards to sump pumps on the infiltration. And I think that you're going to see an adoption of that, moving to that. They also give themselves $70,000 a year to do grouting of their joints and whatnot. They're going to be looking to expand that this year, and they will be turning to us at that point to begin a conversation as far as sharing on outcome. I did impress upon them the fact that we have, it is now April, and we are looking to get this done much sooner than later, and that every haste that they can make that they would do, they agreed. City of Nevada, we got the copies. Everybody got that letter here. You know, I think I wouldn't hurt anybody to attend. I've already gone to one, and it was nice because you had Dave Yeo, Marty Chitty, and a couple council people, and the questions were asked of all. And to get the multiplicity of layers of government that people live under, it was appreciated in that one time.
Yeah, no more than one of us at a time.
And that's, we need to agree with who goes.
You guys pick the ones you want. I'll go whatever ones you know.
It's easy for me. I've got to grant five several legal issues with Jessica's office and the county attorneys, and I had some follow-up on the Boys and Girls Club, and I can't say it enough. Erica Peterson is one substantially capable program director. I think you saw that today. You see it in the packet information on the success year over with that club is doing, and I see good things going forward, but they are capped out on space a lot in the Ames area, and they need to be displacing to another site because the success has put them in the point they cannot take any further the growth that they're likely to have or would hope to have.
Good. I was caught in a blizzard Sunday night between Indianapolis and Springfield, Illinois, and April is too late to be caught in a blizzard.
Okay.
There's nothing else. I take a motion to adjourn.
No move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.